See, guys, the reality is that all of these things that we deal with, all of these emotions and all of these failures, all of these fears, all of this self-loathing, all of this guilt, shame, pain, hurt, anger, mistrust, all of this stuff that we wrestle with and we deal with. In reality, the Word says that that was already nailed to His cross. Said that all of our iniquities were nailed to His cross. The Apostle Paul says all these things were nailed to His cross. Nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross. And so, it is not His intention for us to carry these things and deal with these things. Because He dealt with them on Good Friday 2,000 years ago. So I wouldn't have to deal with them today. That should be something that should free us. That it was nailed to His cross. So you shouldn't have to deal with it. I've got a thought I want to share with you that the Lord's just been developing all week with me, will not let me get away from it. And so I've learned through the years when the Lord keeps looping something back around to me for me to pay attention. And so I want to take just a few minutes and I want us to think and consider. You guys good? We're just going to do this like we did last week. Y'all good with it? All right. Awesome. I got a home group audience here. We could just talk like we're in our living room. Last week we talked about, John when he came in and he made this great prophetic statement, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world." Concerning Jesus, when Jesus was beginning His public ministry, he looked at Him and He pointed to Him and the disciples, some of the disciples were already there. The people were there. He was baptizing in the Jordan River and He pointed at Jesus and He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And what He was saying was, "Behold the Passover Lamb. Behold the Passover Lamb." He could have identified Jesus in a multitude of ways. He could have said, "There is the omniscient God. There is God incarnate, God in the flesh. There is the omnipotent God. There's the God that created everything." He spoke all of this into existence. He could have declared all of those things about Jesus, but instead He said, "There's the Passover Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." And He's already pointing to Good Friday. The first thing that John did was point to Good Friday and said, "There He is. There He is." And we also talked about Father God as He comes in and on at least two occasions in the New Testament when He's audibly declaring, making His statement about who Jesus is, He declares beloved identity. He said, "This is My beloved Son. This is My beloved Son." And He could have sounded off all of the attributes and all the accolades. He said, "This is My beloved Son." He spoke of beloved identity. And so the Lord has had me looping and relooping toward the Passover Lamb this week, and I understand why in light of what we were just talking about. The first Passover took place in the book of Exodus. And it was when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. Moses had come in and he and Pharaoh had these contests God and Pharaoh. And all of these plagues, all of these things were coming upon Egypt, really forcing Pharaoh to come into a place of submission where he yielded to Yahweh. And he said, "Fine, go." And so the children of Israel were, this was actually the last one, the last plague, the thing that broke them was this Passover. And the Lord declared, He said, "I'm going to take the life of the firstborn of everything, of your cattle, of your livestock, of your children. And the only thing that's going to save you is from this death angel that is going to pass through all of Egypt. The only thing that's going to save you is the blood of the Lamb." And just beautiful symbolism of Christ and all of that. And we see in the scripture in the book of Exodus, we see where they took each family took a lamb that was without spot or without blemish. And they put it up for, I think, 4 days, or maybe 14 days. Actually, it may have been 14 days to make sure that this lamb did not have something that was unbeknownst to them. And it had to be pure. And so they took these lambs, they sacrificed them. Everybody did it on the same day. And then they put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. And the death angel passed by. And if the blood of the sacrificial lamb was on the doorpost, then that household was saved. The firstborn was saved. And so that was the first Passover we see. The next Passover we see is when the children of Israel, they leave and they're going to the exodusing from Egypt. And they're actually coming into the Red Sea. And they come up against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh has changed his mind. His heart's been hardened. And he's coming after the children of Israel with his chariots, with his armies. And he means to bring them back. He's wanting to bring back his slaves back to Egypt. And so we know the story, and God comes in, and we see this Passover on the Red Sea, that God comes in and tells Moses, he said, stand and see the glory of the Lord today. And then he says to move on, and God causes a great wind to come. God breathes and parts the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walk across. We know that Passover, and the armies of Egypt are swallowed up. Beautiful story in itself. But the third Passover is the one that the Lord has been just re-looping with me all week. And that's concerning Joshua and the children of Israel 40 years later. They are coming to the Jordan River, and a generation has died off, and a generation has risen up, and God said, now is time for us to go in. And I think you made reference to it last week, Joshua and Caleb, and the men that they came in, and they were like, you know, we believed for 40 years that this was our land. And so God comes to Joshua. He's now the leader. Moses is dead, and Joshua's leading the children of Israel. And God comes to Joshua. He appears to him, and he says, I'm the guard of the God of the angel armies. I'm the captain of the host, you know. Because Joshua asked him, he said, are you for us or are you against us? He said, dude, I'm the captain of the host. I stand on my own. The question is, are you for me or are you against me? That's the real question. And that's the real question today. You know, are we for him or are we against him? So he comes in and he tells Joshua, he said, I'm ready for sanctify yourselves because now we're going to cross the Jordan River. And just a beautiful, beautiful story because he tells the people, he said, you come in and I think it's 3 days of sanctification. They start getting ready and just really consecrating themselves for the moment and all of this. And now realize here, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of Jews. Estimates are anywhere from 600,000 to 6 million Jews that are about to cross a river. And he comes in and Joshua tells the priest, the Lord tells Joshua to tell the priest, he said, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant and I want you to pass before the people so that all the people see the Ark of the Covenant, which was where the presence of the Lord, it was symbolic of the presence of the Lord. It was their identifying point, their memorial, their altar. This is where God meets them in this place. And so, he said, the presence is going to come before, pass before you. And you follow it. And as the Lord began to speak to me on that, I thought about Palm Sunday and last week. And the Ark of the Covenant passed before the people and entered into Jerusalem. And it was Jesus. And he told the priests, he said, you pass before the people. And then he told all the people, he said, you follow the Ark. Because he said, you've never been this way before. But you follow the Ark. And he told the priest and came in. And in this story, the thing I love about this is these priests, the Ark of the Covenant and these priests collectively are a type of Jesus Christ. So I want us to really focus on that. They're a type of Jesus Christ. And he told the priest, he said, this, now the Jordan River's at flood stages right here. A huge, huge impassable river during these flood stages. And he told the priest, he said, where is it? Joshua and the priest, he said, we're about to go over and we're about to lead hundreds of thousands of people. Not only hundreds of thousands of people, but all of their stuff, all of their stuff is going to pass over. And so he told the priest, he said, you take the ark and you bear the ark and you go and when your feet touches the brim of the water, when it touches the water of the Jordan River, then you're going to see me do something amazing. He told him, he said, you're going to see the power and the glory of the Lord today. He's going to do great works among you. And so you've got these priests and they come in. And by faith, they have to wade out into this river. They are the first ones that have to really operate in faith, I guess, besides Joshua. They have to operate in faith. They have to operate in trust. Alright? And coming in and putting their feet to this water and beginning to wade out and saying the river's going to stay back. It's going to be pushed back. And, you know, the Word talks about Jesus being the first one among many brethren. And he's our first fruits. And I want to tell you something. On Good Friday, Jesus had to operate in faith and trust so that we could 2,000 years later. If he had not operated in faith and trust, we would not be able to stand here and do the same thing today. So he was this type of priest, and he comes in, and they put their foot to the water and begin to step out. And Joshua, the Lord had commanded the priest, he said, I want you to go out, and I want you to stand in the midst of the riverbed of the Jordan River, and I want you to hold the Ark of the Covenant. They bore it on their shoulders. We remember the story of David and trying to bring it in on a cart. That was not the way to do it. They bore it on their shoulders. I don't know about having shoulder duty that day. Perhaps they did shifts and swapped out. But they were carrying this thing, and they went to the middle of the river, and they stood in the river. And here's the thing that it gets so beautiful for me, is these priests stood in the riverbed as these multitudes of people begin to cross over into something new. They begin to cross over into freedom, true freedom. They begin to cross over into liberty. They begin to cross over into their destiny, into what God's design intent was for their lives. They begin to cross into that. And the whole time that all of these people were crossing over, there the priests are standing in the middle of the river, and the one thing that's holding back the river is the power and the presence of the ark that they're bearing on their shoulders. And so all of this, get this picture, all of this is passing by. Hundreds of thousands of people. And all of their stuff is coming through. And these guys are standing here the whole time, making a way. Man, the Lord just kept carrying me back to the song Waymaker, Waymaker. He said, boy, I'm a waymaker way before Jehovah Jireh. We sing Waymaker, and we think Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. He's going to do this for me, and he's going to do that for me. He said, I want to tell you something. I did something for you that was such a waymaker, you have no idea. The thing that the Lord kept telling me, Sister Linda, about Good Friday is the Lord kept saying, today I made a way for my bride. Because she did not have a way to get back to the Father until today. She did not have a way to get back into covenant relationship until today. That's why I celebrate Good Friday. I don't come in, and it is a heavy day. It is a day of great weight concerning what Jesus bore for me. But it is also a great day of celebration because he made a way for me today. And it was his heart to do so. It was his good pleasure to do so. It was his, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That's what the Word says. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And so I've just, all week, I've been thinking about these priests that are standing in the river while all of these people are, not only the people are coming through, not only these souls coming through, but all this stuff's coming through. And I was thinking, man, if I'm a priest, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh no, here comes Bob. I know what all Bob's got. You know, if it was our clan coming through, man, all of the stuff and all the junk, because they're bringing everything with them. They're bringing everything with them. And I would have this, you know, big entourage of livestock and cattle and horses and llamas and chickens and grandchildren and daughters and sons-in-laws and, you know, and all our possessions. And all of this is coming through. And the whole time all of this is coming through, the priests are standing there in the river holding the waters back. They're standing there in the river so I can get across. So I can get across. The Lord challenged me as a leader because a lot of times I get frustrated with people. None of you guys that are watching live on Facebook, but just some, you know, hypothetically speaking, I get frustrated with people. And the Lord asked me, he said, are you willing to stand in the river no matter how long it takes somebody to cross? There was 1.5 tribes that didn't want to cross. They wanted it on the other side, and you can't make them cross. They did have to send 40,000 warriors. But the ones that want to cross just because they're slow don't mean you can get out of the river. It don't mean you can set the presence of God from off your shoulder. Say, Lord, how long am I going to stand here? However long it takes. However long it takes. And to me, the beauty of the cross is that Jesus hung there while all of my stuff was passing by. What we were talking about a while ago. Not my good stuff, Noah. My junk. Because if I'm a priest, I'm sitting here and say, really? You know, Cindy, you brought your whole garage. You're bringing all of that. Come on, I'm standing in this thing. That's not necessary. But Jesus bore everything. He was such a great high priest that he stood in the midst of my crossover. And he kept the tide of sin back. And he kept the tide of judgment back. And he let every bit of it pass before him while he endured. While he bore, while he bled. The word says that he became sin for us. So not only did he bear my sin, he became my sin. So that it could be nailed to the cross, so that it could die on the cross. Because see, when Jesus rose again, he didn't rise as my sin. He rose as a resurrected Savior. That's what we're going to celebrate. We're actually doing our sunrise service in the morning because it's supposed to rain Sunday morning. That's what we're celebrating in the morning. Yes, the sin was nailed to the cross on him, in him, through him. He bore it all. To the point where the Father turned his back on it. The Father could not bear to see it. But Jesus' blood covered it all. And every drop that touched the earth, it cleansed me. And it cleansed this planet. It redeemed everything. And so the whole week I've been thinking about these priests standing in the riverbed, holding the presence of God, keeping floodwaters back. That's what held it back. They weren't standing there with the hand, but they were standing there with the presence of God, the promise of God, the love of God, the future of God for these people. And that was what was holding back all these waters. And that's what Jesus was doing on Calvary's cross when all my stuff was passing by. All my junk was passing by. To me, that's the beauty of today. That's the beauty. That is the power of today. That's the power of today. The Word said He was slain from the foundations of the earth. God didn't trick him into doing it. Because he could see a bride named Noah Siegel. He said, I'd do it again 1,000 times. I'll bear all that stuff. I'll hold that ark on my shoulder all day long if I have to. Because I want to see him come into newness of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. I'm the way. He said, I'm the door. He said, no man comes to the Father but through me. And you know what that door is? It's the cross. It's the cross. So today, I feel confident with us. I think there's about 8 or 9 of us here this afternoon. We're trying to keep it under 10, trying to honor the request. But I feel confident in us that we've come into this place and we've received that. We've received that love. We've received that mercy. We've received that grace. We have walked through that door, Jesus. Walked through that passageway, Jesus. Walked through that life, Jesus. But I would be amiss if I did not take this opportunity that if you're watching this on Facebook, whether it's on April 10th or April 10th, 2021, on YouTube or our church podcast, whatever it might be. I had a message the other day from a guy that had watched one of ours the other day, and so now he's backtracking and listening to the old podcast. And I would be amiss if I did not give you this opportunity today that was given to each of us. See, when Jesus hung on the cross, He didn't do it because I deserved it and I was good. He did it because He was good. And He loved me as I was. And so He made a way for me. Waymaker. Maybe we need to sing Waymaker. I don't know. But He made a way for me when I wasn't looking for a way. He made a way with me, for me. When I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know I needed a way. I thought I was all right for a long time. And so I want to give you the opportunity wherever you're at. If you're in your living room, if you're in front of your computer, if you're looking at your phone, if you're on your back porch, wherever that might be, Jesus made a way for you as well. And it's not because you are good or deserving, because you're not. It's because He is. And He loves you and He cares deeply about you. And the beauty of this gospel is all you have to do is to say yes and to receive Him into your heart. Because in doing that and coming, and I'm not going to try to lead you to repeat a prayer or anything like that. There has to be a turning in your heart. Where you say, man, I come to this place where I realize there's this huge void in my life. And by faith and by trust, something inside of me gives me the hope to believe that He's the one that can fill it. And I promise you, that's not misplaced hope. That's not misplaced trust. That's not mistrust faith. Because He is the door and He is the way. And He bore all of your junk 2,000 years ago. All of your stuff. Everything that should have been sold at the garage sale years ago. He let it pass by Him while He was hanging on the cross. And He did it for you. And He did it for me. And He did it for every one of us that's up here on the stage. And today I want to give you the opportunity to just simply say yes to Him. You're not saying yes to Sid Garner. You're not saying yes to James Siegel. You're not saying yes to my individual lifestyle. You're saying yes to Jesus Christ. He's the one that paid it all. He's the one that did it all. He was the one that made the way for you. He's the one that made the way for His bride, us, so that we could enter into a place of promise, a place of hope, a place of peace. That's what the promised land was for the children of Israel. Something that God had promised their forefathers. He'd promised that to Abraham. He said, your children one day are going to live in an amazing place. And it's going to be full of blessing and hope and joy and peace. They're going to have an abundant life there. And in that Passover, the presence of God bore on the shoulder of the priest made a way for them to enter into that. And 2,000 years ago on Passover, Jesus Christ, our high priest, born in the image of God, filled with the Spirit of God, God incarnate, He made a way for us to pass over. That's what we're celebrating. And hopefully that's what we're receiving today. So, join with us, man. We just want to worship Him some more. What are we going to do? Are we going to do Waymaker? Sing it different this time, because think about the way that was made on the cross. And when we sing this, we typically say, when I don't feel it, you're working. When I don't see it, you're working. We're talking about circumstances right now. You know what? I wasn't even born 2,000 years ago and He was making a way for me. He was not even on my mind when I was doing my thing as a kid. And He was making a way for me. Making a way for me. So let's sing it a little bit different today. Thinking about Calvary's cross. Thinking about crossing Jordan River. Here's the beauty of this now. Let me throw this out here to you. One more thing. I know we're touching. James and I have been, we've been working together, so we're quarantining together. Two things happened when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River. He said, I want you to take 12 stones. One man from each tribe, each of the 12 tribes. I find it amazing, even the 1.5 tribes that didn't cross over, they still got to take a stone and place it on the other side. Whew. He never gives up on us. And He says, I want you to take this huge stone and I want you to place it on your shoulder and I want you to carry it across the river and I want you to place it on the other side as a memorial. As a memorial. So that your children will know, your grandchildren will know, so that all generations will know that He was a way maker. And then He told them, I want you to take 12 stones and I want you to take those stones and I want you to place them in the middle of the riverbed. Two memorials. One in the place of promise and one in the place of deliverance. So as you sing this today, I want you to think about two things. I want you to think about the things that God has brought you through. That's why we get excited when we sing this song. Because all of us can sit here and say, man, I remember a day and He made a way for me. And He was there for me. And He provided for me. And He did this for me. And you know what that is? That is the stone that goes to Gilgal. That's where they camped that night. That's the pile of rocks right there. But there's another pile of stones. There's another 12 stones. And they went to the middle of the river. And you know what that was doing? That was making a declaration to all of the obstacles that they had to wade through. That said, Yahweh is my God. And He is my way maker. The Word said those stones are still there today. That's what it said. The stones are still there. And that is declaring to every mountain that is facing us, every raging river that is facing us, every insecurity, every doubt, everything that He made a way for and He nailed to Calvary's cross that you're dealing with right now, pile a rock on it and say, He's my way maker. Sickness, He's my way maker. Fear, He's my way maker. I'm piling a stone right here so that you'll know. You'll know. When Jesus was with the disciples and they were crossing the Sea of Galilee and the wind was tempestuous. You know what? Jesus didn't rebuke the devil. You know who He rebuked? He rebuked the wind. He shouted to the wind and He said, stop, you're better than that. He spoke to the wind. So today we'll get a little bit Pentecostal. We'll get a little bit, this is who we are as people of faith. And we will speak to that mountain. And we'll say, here's this stone. And you know what this stone looks like? This stone looks like a tree that my Savior hung on 2,000 years ago. That's what this stone looks like. Calvary's cross. That's what it looks like. So you have no place over me. You have no authority over me. You have no right in my life because He hung on the cross while I passed by. And all my stuff. But the beauty of this is my stuff didn't make it past Him. It stuck to the cross with Him. So that's how I want us to sing this today. That's how I want us to sing this today. So man, let's just dive on in. God bless you guys. worship with us. Declare this over your life. Declare this over your children, over your grandchildren, over your households, that He is and has always been our way maker. Amen.